Good morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone this morning. We especially appreciate those who are visiting with us, and we're thankful for your presence. We have an opportunity to come together this morning to worship God, and we have an opportunity to stay focused on those things that are important as we live in a very hectic world around us. We have a lot of things going on, and it's easy to get distracted and get discouraged, but we need to keep our eyes focused on the goal. And the song that we just sang is an encouragement and an inspiration to all of us. We're pressing on to higher ground. Obviously, we're looking up. We're keeping our eyes on that goal of heaven. And I think about the recent events with the school shootings this past week and other terrible kinds of things that go on in our society and even around the world. And it's easy to get distracted and get our focus off of serving God and focusing on going to heaven. And these things are discouraging when we see the way mankind acts toward one another. And sometimes we wonder about those kinds of things. But we need to keep pressing on toward the prize. We need to keep pursuing the prize. And I hope this morning's lesson will encourage us along those lines. When you turn in your New Testaments, you find that the Apostle Paul often uses different kinds of illustrations and images that are taken from the first century. These are things that were happening around his life and during his lifetime in Roman culture and in Greek culture. And he would see these things and he would use them as illustrations to teach specific truths about living the Christian life. For example, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, the Apostle Paul uses the figure of a Roman soldier, and he talks about how that Christians are to put on the whole armor of God. And he describes the Christian life there as warring against the devil, and how that we need to put on these spiritual parts of the armor in order to defend our lives from the assault of the devil. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and find that Paul uses the agricultural image there, where he talks about how that I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so he uses the figure of planting and reaping and sowing and harvesting, and how that we need to be doing the same in our Christian life. You turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and you find that the Apostle Paul there used the architectural image of a building. Keep in mind that the Apostle Paul is preaching and writing in the first century, where there was beautiful Roman and Greek architecture. He had been to Athens and he had seen the Parthenon there firsthand. Not the copy down in Nashville, but the real thing. He had seen the Temple of Apollo in Corinth and other places around. He'd been to Rome and seen the architecture there. And so he describes the church as a temple. He describes the church as a building whose foundation is Christ, the chief cornerstone. And so these images that Paul uses from the first century to try to teach very important and specific truths about living the Christian life. One image that we want to look at this morning, if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, is that image of the athlete. The image of the athlete who is pursuing a prize, who is pursuing a goal. And in that image, we want to see some lessons for our admonition this morning. When you turn to the book of Philippians, you find particularly in chapter 3, that the Apostle Paul is trying to make some points with regard to where he is as a Christian. And in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says there that there's going to be no glory in fleshly accomplishments. His glory is in being a Christian. And we need to think about that this morning. That what's important in life is being a Christian. Money is not important. Power and prestige and fame is not important. But being a Christian and being a faithful Christian. And so Paul said, I'm going to glory in Christ. I'm not going to glory in past fleshly accomplishments. And then in verse 4, he begins to list some of those past fleshly accomplishments that he had had as a Jew. There are 7 of them, actually, that he mentions there. Beginning in verse 4 and 5, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and so forth. He goes on and he talks about his Hebrew heritage and how that he was raised as a very strict Pharisee. He was raised strictly in the adherence of Judaism. But these things that a common Jew would consider as a profit, as a gain, as something that's important, he's willing to leave all that behind just simply to be a Christian. And so in verses 7 through 11, he says these seven fleshly things, these things that would have been considered a gain from an earthly standpoint, I'm actually going to consider them as a loss. You're going to find in this text of Scripture this morning several opposites. For example, he talks about what would have been a profit to me is actually a loss. And those things that are a loss to me, I've done that so that I can gain Christ. Notice those opposites there. What's important then is simply being, verse 9, being found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. That's what's important. Being a faithful Christian. Well, when Paul says in verses 9 through 11 that all I want to be is a Christian, all I want to be is to be found in Him, that is what is important to me. He goes on to say some things in the next few verses that we want to look at for our admonition this morning with regard to pursuing the prize. When you begin reading in verses 12 through 16, as we're going to look at right now, you're going to find that the Apostle Paul wants his readers to know that this change in life that he has made is the start, not the finish, of his life in Christ. He wants to give a disclaimer, as it were. He wants to give a qualification. He says in verses 7 through 11, I just want to be found in Christ. But, so that you don't get the wrong idea, I want you to know that I'm in Christ, and I want to be found in Him, but I have not yet reached the goal. I want to make it clear. And so verses 12 through 16 is kind of like a clarification. It's kind of like a word of clarification where he says, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't want you to get the idea that I feel that I have arrived and there's nothing else to do. I want to talk about how that I'm continuing to pursue the goal and I'm continuing to pursue the prize. What I have accomplished, verses 7 through 11, is not the finish, it's only the start of a lifelong pursuit. So when we turn now to verses 12 through 16, we're going to find some principles that we can apply in our life today, hopefully to make us faithful Christians. When we read verses 12 through 16 then, we're going to find four principles essential to the pursuit of the prize. I think everybody here this morning wants to pursue heaven. I think everybody here this morning wants to make heaven as their goal. What is essential in reaching that goal? What is essential in pursuing that prize? We can't just live any way we want and end up in heaven. Just like we can't just shoot anywhere we want and expect to hit the target. We have to aim. We have to focus. We have to keep our sights set on that goal. And so when we read verses 12 through 16, what we're going to find is this. That number one, what is necessary is a personal dissatisfaction with where we're at. We want to be doing more. Number two, it's essential that we have a steadfast determination. It's going to involve work. We cannot be spiritually lazy. Number three, we have to have a focused devotion. We can't be distracted by the things of this life. And number four, we have to practice a constant discipline to bring ourselves within the framework of God's Word and live by that. We can't just run any way we want. We can't just pursue the goal any way we want, but there is a standard. There is a law. There is a fixed rule by which we must run and pursue this prize. Let's read together Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. The Apostle Paul, having said, these things are a loss that I may gain Christ, he says, I'm going to clarify something. I want to explain something. Not that I have already obtained, or am I already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything else you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by the same rule or standard, let us walk. Let's look now at these four principles essential
to the pursuit of the prize. Paul said, I've come a long way. When you look at verses 4 through 6 and you see where I was, and you see what I have now in Christ, verses 7 through 11, you see that I've come a long way, but I'm not where I need to be. And look back over your life as I look back over mine. Can we say that we've made some big changes and made some big strides in the right direction? I believe we can say that. But we have not yet arrived. Have we made some changes? Have we made some progress? Absolutely. But we have not yet arrived. And so we need to continue pursuing the prize and the goal of heaven. I appreciate Shannon leading the song based on this text, Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal. I'm pressing on to higher ground, you see. And those things that are happening at work and at school and in my family and in the world, and the terrible things that we hear about with the school shootings and other kinds of things, all of that going on in our life, I'm going to continue to remain focused on getting to heaven and getting others there with me. What's it going to take? Number one, it's going to take a personal dissatisfaction. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean by that we don't like Christ or that we don't want to be a Christian. What I mean by that, and what Paul means by that, is not that I have already obtained. Look at chapter 3, verse 12, the first part. Not that I have already obtained. Paul did not have, he did not have a self-satisfied approach. I've arrived. That's it. There was a personal dissatisfaction about his approach to this, and that is, I need to keep doing more. I need to keep progressing. Look at verse 13, the first part. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. I have not arrived yet. You know the interesting thing about this? When was the book of Philippians written in the life of the Apostle Paul? Just in a big picture sort of way. Is this Paul the new Christian? Is Paul writing this the day after Ananias baptized him in Acts 22:16? This is not a statement from a new convert. Do you know that this statement written by the Apostle Paul is about 30 years into his Christian life? About 30 years into his Christian life, he is saying, I still need to do more. Now let me ask you this. If Paul is saying that, do you think we need to be saying the same? Absolutely. Here is Paul converted in Acts 9. In the early 30s, mid-30s A.D., roughly. This book, Philippians, is written in the early 60s A.D., about 30 years after his conversion. He had not yet crossed the finish line. His attitude is, I need to keep faithful, I need to keep working, I need to keep pursuing. And so there needs to be this personal dissatisfaction in this regard. That my level of attendance, I want to do more. My level of service, I want to do more. What I volunteer for, I want to do more. In and out of the local church. I want to keep growing and pursuing. I'm not going to have a self-sufficient, self-satisfied, self-contented attitude where I'm going to remain at my level of spirituality and just sort of coast my way in. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep growing. One of the problems with the self-satisfaction approach is that we become lukewarm. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. You ever thought about that? If you're not moving forward, then there's only one of two other choices. You're either standing still or you're going backwards. Paul said, I want to keep moving forward. I've not yet crossed the finish line. I've not yet reached the prize. And so there's this approach, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect. I want to keep moving forward. When we don't have that attitude, we end up like the lukewarm Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are the wretched one and the miserable and the poor and the blind and the naked. I'm fine, you see. When we become content to remain where we are spiritually, then in time we stop moving forward, we start standing still. And when we start standing still, in time we start moving backwards. We have to have this sense of, I'm not where I want to be, I want to keep growing. And so the point simply is this. that it is essential in pursuing the prize that I have an attitude that I want to keep growing and maturing and pressing on. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, let us press on to maturity. Some versions say, let us press on to perfection, and some have gotten the misnomer that he's talking about sinless perfection. He's not talking about that. It's the word complete, whole, mature. Let us press on to that. I'm going to continue growing. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, I'm going to add to my faith what we call these Christian graces, and I'm going to grow in knowledge. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, pursuing the prize requires that you accept the need to continue to grow and mature. What is it that you need to do more in? What is it that I need to do more in? I'm not going to be satisfied with my current level of spirituality, but I'm going to do something to grow. Read my Bible more, be better in my prayer life, be better in my service and sacrifice like we talked about this morning in our Bible class, be better servants in the local church, whatever the case might be. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm going to keep pursuing that, and I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep maturing. The second element that the Apostle Paul talks about with regard to pursuing the prize that is essential in this pursuit is that of a steadfast determination. I'm not going to let anyone deter me from this prize and from this goal. Look at verse 12, the latter part now. But I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ. I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that. Look at verse 14 and the first part. I press on. The word that the Apostle Paul uses here is a Greek word that reveals an energetic style of running. Remember, Paul used other images. He used the image of a soldier, of a farmer, of a builder. Here he's using the image of a runner, of an athlete. But he uses a word that means an energetic, determined fortitude in running. Think of the runner who's bent forward. Think of the runner who is using the muscles in the arm. The muscles are hurting. The muscles in the legs are hurting. And he's running down that track. This is not the lazy runner. This is not the coaster. This is not the person who is just sort of there. This is the person who has an energetic running style. And literally the word means to be running stretched forward. Is that your life as a Christian? Is that my life? The life of some is just simply, well, you know, I may or may not be at services, you know. I may or may not live the Christian life today. If it's convenient, I will. If it's not, I won't. And we'll just sort of take it as it goes. You know, if we can do it, we'll do it. If we don't do it, then no big deal. Paul reveals the importance of an energetic, determined running style. Paul chose to run with all his might, and that's what the Greek word means. To press on means to run energetically with all your might. Are we putting all of our might in serving the Lord, or is it more of a convenience? Is it more of a microwave religion, just a convenient religion? Or are we putting our all into that? I find it interesting that some will put their all into sports and into their TV program and into their hobbies and other things going on and making sure they get to the store. But when it comes to being here, well, you know, I may or may not be there, you know. When it comes to reading my Bible and praying and serving the Lord and those types of things. When it comes to obeying the gospel, you see, those steps that I need to take. Well, you know, I just sort of want to think about it, and I may or may not do that. But when it comes to something else in my life, where I'm right there and I'm putting my all into it, you see, we pick and choose what we want to be energetic about, don't we? We pick and choose what we want to have steadfast determination. And our admonition this morning is to choose that with regard in our service to getting to heaven. It's an energetic running style, not a lazy running style. And so the pursuit of the prize is given to the person with the effort being made. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. We live so much in a climate and in a world of convenience that we may, if we're not careful, be affected by it, and it comes into our Christianity. And our approach is, you know, I may or may not today do what I need to do. Jesus said that those who enter in, Luke 13, are there few that are saved, verse 23, strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive, look at that. We get away from that sometimes in our culture, preaching, working hard. You see, we're getting away from that in the workplace. We're getting away from that in the leadership of our nation. We're getting away from rolling our sleeves up and working hard and having some sweat and putting our back into it, you see. It's all about laziness and just very little effort, and just a get-by attitude, you see. Strive to enter in. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said that this pursuit of the prize, it takes some work. It takes some work. And serving the Lord, let's just be frank about it. It takes some work. And we need to understand that. And Jesus taught that, and the Apostle Paul taught that, and others. And so we just need to be open about that. That is unpopular in today's society. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me in verse 11. In diligence, not slothful, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, the sloth is the animal that just lazily lays in the tree. But we're going to put some diligence, some effort into it. Turn with me to a familiar passage that we use with regard to Bible study in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we often turn to this Bible passage with regard to handling aright the Word of God. And it's a good Bible passage to use to talk about the importance of carefulness in our Bible study. But I want you to notice the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse is not so much about Bible study, it's about being right with God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, give diligence, or study, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God. Let's just stop right there. The rest of the verse talks about handling aright the Word of God, and there's an important lesson there about Bible study, but look at the first part of the verse. You need to give diligence. The Greek word spoudazo there means to put forth a great effort, but look at it, to what? To Bible study? No, to be approved of God. Let me ask you, do you work hard each day so that you'll be approved of God? Do you work hard each day so that you will gain God's approval in your righteous living? We've got to work hard at that, you see. Pursuing the prize then requires that you put forth all your effort. Listen, there have been generations in this nation that have worked hard. And you know what? We're often the recipients of that. There was a generation that worked hard in World War II for our freedom. There was a generation that worked hard physically in jobs and maintaining a work ethic in our country. We're seeing less and less of that today. It's easier and easier just to be lazy and let somebody else do that, you see, and let some other country make a better product. It doesn't really matter, you see. There were those in generations gone by who, by the sweat of their brow, And breaking their back to create a society, a nation, a family, we're getting away from that. And we see it in many avenues. And we also see it in the matter of religion. Do you know that many, many mainline denominations are closing their doors because nobody's going to church anymore? Mainline denominations are selling their buildings to other people for other kinds of uses, non-religious uses, because they don't have enough people there to keep the doors open. Some brethren are struggling with that same situation. We just don't want to do the work that it takes anymore to come and worship God and that type of thing. Stay home on Sunday and watch TV or go to the ball game or something like that. Paul says we have to have a pursuit that is so determined that we're going to work at it. And we're going to strive and we're going to put forth effort. Number three, the Apostle Paul says that it's essential in this pursuit of the prize that we have a focused devotion. Back to Philippians chapter 3 now. You'll notice in verse 13 that the Apostle Paul says, he says, I press on. So he's working at it. But what kind of work is it? It's a work toward a specific goal. He says, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold But one thing I do. You underscore that in your Bible. Not two, not three, not many things. One thing I do. There was a focus on one goal, one target, one bullseye, if you will. So notice the focus. One thing I do. Paul reveals his deliberate concentration on one thing. And it's hard to get distracted. He was focused on serving God and going to heaven. That was at the forefront of his mind. And did Paul have things in the first century that could distract him? Did he have sinful things going on and worldly things going on like we have today in the news? Absolutely. He stayed focused on the one thing. He talks about the goal. He talks about the prize. He talks about the high, and the word there means upward. It's not so much high in elevation, but it's the idea of I'm climbing upward. Hence the song, Higher Ground. It's an upward calling. It's a calling us up to heaven. And so the third essential element is that we've got to get our focus right. Sometimes if we're not careful, I've got things going on with family, and got things going on here, and things going on at work, and things going on with my friends, and what falls through the cracks is our service to the Lord. We've got to stay focused on that one goal. And so, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, that there is one Lord, one faith, one hope. There's one hope of heaven. There's one goal, one prize, the prize of the high or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul chose to forget what was behind. Here's another one of those opposites. Remember earlier in the chapter there was, these things are lost that I might gain Christ. Here's another opposite. I'm not going to look behind. I'm going to look before. What is before me? I'm going to stretch forward. Stop and think about that for just a moment. What are some things that you need to leave behind? Let me ask you this. Do you drive primarily looking through your front windshield or your rearview mirror? We primarily drive looking through our front windshield. The rearview mirror that allows us to look behind, that's there for perspective, and we check that from time to time, but we primarily look by driving through the front windshield, looking through that front windshield and driving, looking forward. And that's the way we need to do. And Paul says, I'm not focusing on those things that are behind. Stop and think about what would some of those things be? Well, first of all, in the context, verses 4 through 6, some of those things that he was willing to leave behind were those past accomplishments, right? All that stuff in the Judaism, being raised as a Jew, well, let that go. What do we need to forget? Verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. What could be some of those things today? What about past sins that have been forgiven? What about past accomplishments? I'm not going to rest on the past. Well, look at what I did 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I used to be a Bible class teacher in the church. And 15 years ago, I used to be a song leader. And I used to do this and I used to do that. And so that's what's going to get me into heaven. No, I need to keep working. How about past failures? Past disappointments? How about past hurts? Somebody hurt me years ago. Remember, the church hurt me years ago, or whatever the case might be. Forgetting those things that are behind. See, the devil wants us to live in the past, whether there's past successes or past sins or past hurts, and we get bogged down in that, and we're not even going to heaven anymore. We're just so bogged down with all of that. So the third essential element is to have a focused devotion on that one thing in front of me, and that is heaven. And I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and then stretching forward. Now look at verse 13. Paul uses a Greek word there that refers to running again. Look at the word stretching forward. That came straight out of the athletic realm of the runner who at the very last minute, when he's getting to the tape, what do runners do? Especially when there's several runners that are close together, they're coming up to that finish line, and they're coming up to that tape. What are they trying to do? What are they trying to tell them to do at the very last minute? You stretch your head out. You stretch it out there because that little bit of an inch might get you the win. That's the very word that Paul uses here. Stretching out, it's a image of striving, working hard, focused. You see, you're going to get there first. When you're doing that, you're not thinking about the starting blocks, are you? When the man crosses the finish line, and at the very last minute he puts his head up, is he thinking about the starting block? No, he's got his mind on breaking that tape and being the first one there. He's stretching forward.
That needs to be our attitude. And so let's ask ourselves this morning about our focused determination and devotion. Pursuing the prize then requires that we focus on what is ahead and that we don't let anybody take that from us. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Paul says, "Let no man rob you of your prize." This is the prize of heaven. The specific context here, if you look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it's being robbed by human philosophy. But we can be robbed by worldliness. We can be robbed by human philosophy that we pick up at school or in college somewhere. Atheistic and humanistic evolution, something along those lines. We can be robbed by a number of things. Materialism. So here's our prize. We're headed to heaven. But then someone comes up and just robs us through these things of this life. Let no man do that. And if I am focused, I've got my prize, I've got my eye on that prize, and you, devil, you're not going to take that from me. How does that happen? Look at chapter 3. Seek the things, Colossians 3, verse 1. Seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. Set your mind on the things that are above. My mind, my eye is on that goal, and I'm not going to get it off of that. No matter what comes in life, the things of our society, the ups and downs, the positives, the negatives, whatever that might be, I'm going to keep my mind and my eyes focused on those things that are above. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham did that. Do you remember when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees and by faith he came and made that journey and made that travel and did what God wanted him to do to come to the promised land? Abraham and other Old Testament worthies, the Hebrew writer says they kept their eyes focused on that prize, that goal. In this case, he uses the figure of heaven as a city. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14. For they, Abraham and these other Old Testament worthies who made sacrifices, who left things, for they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. I'm not going to keep my mind on that country that I left and, well, maybe I'll go back to that. No, my mind is on that heavenly country. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to those things that are behind. I'm pressing forward. And so chapter 12, verse 2. Verse 1, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Does any of that need to be laid aside this morning, today? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, not behind us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and had sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew how to keep his eyes focused on going back to heaven, and we're to do the same. Looking ahead. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, there's one last essential element necessary in pursuit of this heavenly prize, and that is a constant discipline to follow God's Word. We can't just run any way we want. Our society says, live any way you want, do anything you want, talk, dress, act, live any way you want. Paul has one more reminder here. He has one more element that he wants to mention, and that is that in pursuit of this goal, this heavenly goal, we must follow the same rule or the same standard. Paul reveals the importance of following the same standard, the rule of God. It's the New Testament standard of Christ's Word. Are there rules in athletic competitions, or you just get to do anything you want out on the court? Here's a ball, just do whatever you want. Or here's a race,
just whatever you want. There's rules, isn't there? And in order to attain the prize and get the goal and get the reward, you have to follow the rules. And so Paul chose to follow the rules laid down by Christ, and he said that we must do the same. And so, verse 15, let us therefore. Look at verse 15. Do you see the word therefore? That's what ties this in with what we've been reading. That's why this is a part of the prize as well. Let us therefore. Therefore, the word there is concluding these statements that have been made from verses 12 and following. He says, I want to say one more thing. Having said all of this, therefore, as many as are perfect or mature or complete, be thus minded. Verse 16, only whereunto we have attained by the same standard, your version might say rule, let us walk. And so, there must be a standard or a rule by which we run this race. And it's the same one for all Christians. When we pursue the prize, it requires that we keep running by the same rules that have brought us thus far in our pursuit. Let me ask you this. What has gotten you thus far in your life as a Christian? The New Testament Scriptures. That's what started your life. That's what's gotten you this far. And Paul is saying, by that same rule, whereunto we have attained, what has gotten us this far, that's what keeps us going in the future as we pursue our prize. It's that same goal. We're not going to change it. Do you know what we're hearing today? Let's change. Change in the Church of Christ. We need changes. We need change agents in the churches of Christ. We need change in the 21st century. Paul says, no, we don't. If you want to pursue the prize, you walk by the same rule that you've gotten thus far. By that same rule, you keep walking. No, not about change. Now, there are things involving expediencies and opinions that how we can better share the gospel in the 21st century. Paul didn't use PowerPoint, and we're using that this morning. There are things like that that help expedite and help carry out, but we're talking about those fundamental rules and laws of the faith. They do not change. The work of the church, the worship of the church, the plan of salvation, how we live as a Christian, these things do not change. And so, there are some rules to follow. Now, that's not popular. That's not popular today. Rules are not popular today, but Paul said in pursuit of the prize, we have to walk by that same rule, by that same standard, and that is New Testament Christianity. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Got to follow the rules. And God is looking for those in pursuit of the prize who are following the rules as well. And Paul talks about that. That we have to stay within the confines of God's Word and exercise discipline and control. 1 Corinthians 9:25, every man that striveth, notice that strive, we're going to work hard. It's not a matter of laziness. But every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown. In the first century, the Greeks and Romans, after they would run, would have a crown of leaves or a garland of leaves. It's a corruptible crown, but we're running, verse 25, for an incorruptible crown of life, that home in heaven. I therefore run, not as uncertainly, just anyway, and I fight, not as just beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. There's going to be discipline. I'm going to live within the confines of God's Word, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. One last thing that we need to consider this morning is that we follow the New Testament teaching every day of our life. And we don't alter that, and we don't change that. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul talks about the athlete who gains the prize, but not just anyone. He says that it's qualified on this. 2 Timothy 2 verse 5, if a man contend in the games, he is not crowned, except he contend lawfully. We have to follow the rules. And Paul did that. And at the end of his life, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the scripture reading that Scott had, I have finished the course. But turn over there and notice something very important. He says, I have finished the course. But look at what he says right after that. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have kept
the faith. You see, it's not just about running. It's about running, but running according to the faith of God's Word. And so, the lesson is yours. Let's keep pursuing the prize. And I'm encouraged that there are those here who want to do that. It's going to take a dissatisfaction in this sense. I don't want to stand still spiritually. I want to move forward. I want to continue growing. I'm going to be determined. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to put forth the striving and the hard work each day to be pleasing to God. One thing I do, one focus. I'm not going to allow the devil to distract me by the things of this life. And then last of all, there's going to be some discipline. And while others around me are not keen on that, and they're not promoting that, we're going to promote just simply the New Testament standard. We're not going to change the rules, even though it's the 21st century. We're not going to update the Bible. We're not going to change the rules to fit the likings of a 21st century audience. We're simply going to continue preaching the old Jerusalem gospel and following that faith, that pattern. We're going to hold fast the pattern of sound words, because that's what's gotten us here thus far. And it's by that same rule, by that same standard, we keep pursuing the prize. Well, the lesson is yours. We appreciate your attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you need to begin your pursuit of that prize this morning by coming and being baptized into Christ, all things are ready where you can do that. If you've erred in some way, and as a child of God, you found that I'm not pursuing like I need to, and I need to make some changes. If you want to let good brother know publicly that you're making those changes, or privately, getting back to pursuing that prize. Somehow the devil has gotten you or I distracted, and we're not pursuing like Paul was. And so we're erring in some way if we need to make that change. And for the faithful brethren here, I'm encouraged that there are those like Paul who are pressing on toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us have these elements in our life that one day we can say, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, I have fought that good fight. And Paul goes on to say, that kind of life is not for me only, but for all. You, all others, who have loved His appearing. Keep pressing on toward that prize and doing what it takes so that one day we can be with Paul and those other worthies and saints in heaven around that throne. If we can assist you in making your life right, if we can assist you in any way in properly pursuing that prize, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Let us assist you.